You're listening to SBS News.
In between the continual breaking news about the coronavirus outbreak here in Australia, there have also been extraordinary tales of selflessness and bravery. Once Australia comes out the other side of the national shutdown, there's no doubt many members of the community, including health professionals and other essential workers, will be recognised with bravery awards. The Australian Bravery Awards, which are announced twice a year, recognise the courage, sacrifice and selflessness of recipients, many of whom are simply ordinary Australians. From police officers to fishermen, truck drivers to total strangers, 83 Australians have been honoured in this year's first list. For 68-year-old recipient Robin Smith, it's been a long time coming. He's being awarded 43 years on since a harrowing incident that he'll never forget.
Well, it was St Valentine's Day, which is 14th of February 1977.
It was on that day an escaped prisoner, Edwin Eastwood, broke into a small regional school in Wareen, Victoria, and took a teacher and his 9 students hostage at gunpoint. Forcing them all into his van, Eastwood began driving the victims to an unknown location, but his reckless and high-speed driving caused him to run into the back of a large trailer, totaling his car. Behind the wheel of that trailer was 25-year-old Robin Smith and his 16-year-old brother David.
When Eastwood came towards us with the van, like he was travelling pretty quick for that sort of road. Most people are pretty careful on there because it's trucks and it's a narrow winding road and, you know, you can't, there's lots of blind corners, but yeah, he was just going too fast and he drove straight in under my trailer.
Robin and his brother quickly clambered out of their truck to go to the other driver's aid, but it didn't take them long to realise that this was no ordinary accident.
Because I got out of the truck to, was going to see if he was all right first. I can't remember if, where I actually met him, but I knew he couldn't, you know, he couldn't get his door open because his ute was all bent up, but he just flew out the window, climbed out the window like a madman and just stuck the gun in my head. So I knew then I was involved in something that wasn't real good. So.
Eastwood forced the two men behind the crashed van, where they first saw the 9 school children chained together by the road and the teacher who was locked in the front seat of the car, blindfolded and gagged. It wasn't long before another 2 more cars pulled over to help what they thought was an innocent crash. All 4 passengers, 2 women and 2 men, were also taken hostage.
When they pulled up, he sort of took them hostage at gunpoint, brought them over and tied them up where we were.
Eastwood put the now 16 kidnapped citizens in the back of a combi van owned by the 2 women who had been travelling in the area and drove them for what seemed hours into dense bushland.
He had a campsite set up. It was a long way from where we were, but we travelled for a good while in that combi van down on the woods, South Gippsland Highway, just past Woodside, which was a fair way away. But he had a camp set up back in the bush.
According to media reports at the time, Eastwood's plan was to hold the victims for ransom. He had sent a letter to Victoria's Education Minister demanding the release of 17 of the state's most dangerous criminals, an arsenal of weapons, $7 million in US currency and a supply of illicit drugs. And it wasn't the first time Eastwood had done this. Just 5 years earlier, he had pulled exactly the same crime 270 kilometres away, kidnapping a teacher and 6 students from the town of Faraday before being arrested. At the campsite, Robin and the other hostages were chained together around a tree, only allowed free to go to the bathroom, when Eastwood would accompany them at gunpoint. As the hours wore on, Robin slowly worked on the chains around his hands. His experience as a logger meant he'd worked tightening chains on trucks for many years, and in the middle of the night, he successfully freed himself. While Eastwood lay resting nearby, Robin escaped.
Just waited and waited for a bit of breeze to come up. That was the one thing I remember, just wait for some breeze to come up to make a bit of noise in the trees in case I stepped on a twig or something like that. If he'd have put the torch on and seen me with me chain off, he probably would have marched me over in the bush and shot me, I reckon.
Robin ran up to 10 kilometres through the bush to a farmhouse he had spotted on the way to the campsite. Exhausted and panicked, he begged the owners to let him in to call the police. After the police arrived, Robin was able to direct them back to the campsite, but it was too late. Eastwood had taken the remaining 15 hostages and had left. It didn't take long for police to locate the vehicle and a high-speed chase ensued, with Eastwood firing shots at the policeman. Robin witnessed the whole thing in the back of a police car.
And he wasn't shooting in the air or in the ground, he was shooting at a you could see. So he did that a couple of times.
After an agonizing, dangerous car chase, police were able to stop the vehicle and apprehend Eastwood, who had been shot in the leg. All of the hostages were saved, mostly uninjured. Rob Hunter, who was the teacher of the school children kidnapped, has never forgotten Robin's bravery and attributes him to saving his and his students' lives.
When someone saves you from a possible death, I guess, then you can't help but think incredibly fondly of them. And, you know, his bravery was exceptional. If Eastwood had woken up when Robin was escaping, Robin would have got a bullet through his head for sure.
Mr. Hunter was just 20 years old at the time and was a very new teacher 9 days into his first job.
It was trauma to the first degree for everybody who was involved. And Robin's heroism short-circuited that. And, you know, we've victims of crime like that, you know, anyone who saves them, the police too, I suppose, you know, we all have very fond thoughts about particularly Robin, but also the police for saving us.
After the incident, Mr. Hunter went on to be a successful teacher in Victoria, and he still works part-time as a school chaplain to this day. In 2018, Mr. Hunter released a book, Day 9 at Warreen, which detailed the harrowing events of that day. At the 40-year reunion, all but a few of the hostages met for the first time since the incident. Mr. Hunter says it was an emotional event. It was there he got to thank Robin for his bravery during the 21-hour ordeal, sentiments echoed by the students and other hostages involved. That was also the trigger for Mr. Hunter, along with some other leaders in the community, to come together to nominate Robin for an Australian Bravery Award. Mr. Hunter says he's over the moon that Robin's efforts have been recognised.
He's a quiet, unassuming, humble character. But he's astute, and he's wise, and his behaviour throughout that ordeal was impeccable. I like saying the words, he's a flipping hero.
Robin, who now resides in Lightning Ridge, a small town in northwestern New South Wales, still works as a miner. He says he's very surprised to be receiving the award, and while being in the spotlight is not his favourite, he's thankful to those who thought of him.
I would have never chased it, but some of the people that were involved in that and a few of the, you know, people that were actually involved in it and around it and that have gone to a fair bit of trouble to do this for me, I think.
Robin, who has 4 children and many more grandchildren, says he doesn't consider himself a hero, but he's glad his actions meant everyone could go home to their families.
Everyone would have been affected in some way by that, like you can't go through that sort of thing without being affected one way or another, but at least, you know, everyone's been able to still go on with their lives.
Ceremonies will be held at state government houses later in the year for recipients to receive their medals. Alan Lee, SBS News.